This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. It's our health and living segment and we are discussing the growing expat community and the trailing expat spouse. Well, we have this community which is growing in Greater Kuala Lumpur and we're going to be learning more about the specific issues that affect the trailing spouse, whether it's fitting in or finding jobs. We get an insight into the life of those who had to make some sacrifices for their spouse's career. Calling them the trailing spouse, I don't know whether it's quite flattering or not, but that's what they refer to all over on the internet, even when I was researching. In the studio with me for his monthly show, US licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. John Ben Loy. How are you today?
Doing very well.
Yes, post Chinese New Year. It felt like you just came in. Has it been a month already?
It has.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you've been having a really good time.
Really?
Time flies when things are going well.
It does.
Right?
Well, we were on holiday literally all of February. I mean, tomorrow is a holiday as well. Yeah. And joining us as well is Magna Tay. She's a mental health therapist. And Magna has a very interesting story herself to share as a expat spouse. She was just telling me off air about her family. Tell me about your family, Magda. I mean, you said you spent 20 years in China, but you grew up in Norway, for an example.
I grew up in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands,
okay. I was raised, yes, and I lived there my whole life. All my formative years were there. And after uni, I decided to take a plunge and explore something. So I went to China thinking it would be just for 1 year. And before you know it, 1 year becomes 20. Mm-hmm. So family was built there. My children are born in China. We then have moved to Indonesia, to Jakarta. And from Indonesia, we came to Kuala Lumpur about 1.5 years ago. So this is where we call home now.
Right. Okay. And the children have moved as well, just as much. Yes. You look very Oriental yourself. I mean, where your heritage, is it Chinese, Malaysian, Singaporean, before you landed in the Netherlands?
Right. My parents are both from Indonesia, actually,
okay.
But from Chinese descent, mm-hmm. Southern China. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting.
So it's all a mix.
Yes, it is. Dr. John Ben, I mean, where did you find Magda?
She found us.
Oh, okay.
The wonders of the internet.
Yes. And the work that you do, Dr. John Ben. Why did you think that, this trailing spouse topic is going to be relevant to,
Yeah. Well, where we work, we see quite a lot of expat clients. In fact, when I started practicing, it was probably about 80% expats because people understood what I did back then.
Remember, hey, don't mock the rest of us, okay? We understand what you do now.
Because of BFM and the good work that you've done here.
We have mental health departments. It goes back many, many years.
Yes,
John Ben.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So the phenomenon became clear to me after having seen a good number of trailing expat spouses and the kinds of complaints that came up again and again.
How would you define this trailing spouse?
Well, the partner, typically women, that come with husbands or partners sometimes and children to Malaysia, mm-hmm. Following the partner's work, the husband's work. So they are trailing along and they are the spouse.
And it happens all over the world.
All over.
Yeah, I mean, Magna, would you say you were a trailing expat spouse at some stage in China?
At some stage, probably in Indonesia, mm-hmm. I definitely was. I was restricted on working. I could not work. I had to really be very creative in thinking, okay, now what am I going to do? My husband was trying, setting up a business in Indonesia. We took the kids out of China, started fresh there. And it was not easy. It was really hard to think of possibilities. And I'm quite a positive person, so I always thought, surely something will come along.
Yeah.
But actually, the door remained closed when it came down to working. It was just not possible, not in the Indonesian context mm-hmm. and in the field that I work in. So you have to roll with the punches and you have to sort of go with it. And I just started volunteering. I noticed that there were a bunch of refugees in Jakarta. They are there for many years, but they cannot work, they cannot go to school. But they have a lot of stories to tell and to process. So I put a group together, but their English is very minimal. They come often from Middle Eastern countries. So I started doing art group-based therapy with them. And then also through another NGO doing volunteer work to help children in cancer wards also, and their families. They are very, very sick children. So at least I could stay in my field. I volunteered. I didn't get paid for it, but I felt I can continue to learn. I can continue to work and do something that I really enjoy.
What did you train in?
I was trained as a mental health counselor in the U.S. So my modality is a little bit different from Dr. John Byrne in the sense that I'm more trained one-on-one, individual work. His one is more systemic. Mm-hmm. But I worked also in China in a clinic, and I would say more than 90% of my clients were expats. And those who were not expats were local Chinese, but who had worked or trained overseas a long time and good English skills.
Mm-hmm. Those who recognized that, you know, there are mental health practitioners who can help you.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Which is what you're referring to actually just now, Dr. John Ben.
That's
in that,
right.
You know, us recognizing
that's
the work
right.
that you do.
That's right. Okay. Promoting well, the
yes,
work that we
yes.
do.
Our phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a call. The number is 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp us on 0162019000. If you're a trailing expat spouse or, you know, you would like to help in some way or another, just give us a call, share us your story, and we'll be happy to get Dr. John Ben and Magda to chime in and help you cope with this. It's obviously not an easy role to play, the mm-hmm. expat, the trailing expat spouse. It's frustrating because you've got to give up everything in your home country and move to a place where, you know, you've got to get to know everything all over again. Culture's different. You're now pretty much on your own, minding the children while your expat spouse gets to work and gets familiar himself or herself to the environment that he's moving or she's moving into. What are some of the common, when people come up to you, Dr. John Ben, mm-hmm. for help, mm-hmm. what are they suffering most? And I don't mean to sound very negative. I'm sure it's a very positive experience as well. But especially in the initial stages, I can imagine it can be quite challenging.
I think the adjustment period can be difficult, particularly if the country is quite different and perhaps perceived as less comfortable, not as clean, maybe weather is not as good, you know, more air pollution, that kind of things. So the more different or the more negative it's perceived to be, then the adjustment process can be more difficult. But we also need to recognize, I mean, the work that we do is a lot on not only individual coping, but also relational. So there's also the, you know, relationship tensions that can arise when someone's not happy, thereby impacting the marriage. And we've talked about on the show before also about, infidelity and things like that that can happen. But in addition to that, people come with their own histories. So if they have unresolved issues before they moved, moving to a new place is not necessarily going to leave behind the problems. You bring the baggages along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now, one interesting thing is last year we started doing support groups for expats. The spouses tended to come. And we found that the ones that tended to really want to need help were those that were prior to being expatted here. I don't know, what do you call that? Relocated here. They were professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a change, and they're just not able to pursue their profession. So these trailing expat spouses, typically women, had a lot of frustrations. And that, I think, is one of the things that I picked up from, you know, it's, you know, we said any expat who needs support, come. And those are the ones that tended to need support, especially if it's their first time, and especially in the first year and a half.
Would you have to have a deep look at your identity, Magda? I mean, have you had to reconstruct your identity? Because I mean, you're from the Netherlands, of Indonesian heritage. You moved to China for 20 years. Yes. I mean, when Dr. John Benn spoke about pollution, I think that was a big problem for you in China.
It was.
20 years. And then back to Indonesia again, which a country which you never really lived in.
That's correct. Did you have to
reconstruct your identity, or were you already adapting as you moved along?
I think I probably wouldn't want to bring it as far as reconstructing, but when I look at how I dealt with all the changes, I probably had to pull for some parts that normally are a little bit sort of in the background, not often used. And then like my professional identity, which I had in China, I had to kind of like let go of it a little bit more. But I still feel it was still me. It was not like I was completely reconstructing and becoming a different person. But I think, yes, you do have to be creative in how you want to, you know, a little bit reinvent yourself, looking at what are your strengths, what are your interests, and then having that openness, I guess, to be looking at your environment and to say what is possible. And then some people, you know, whether you are trailing spouse or not, some people tend to look at, you know, the glass is half full. So they see more the limitations, whereas other people tend to see as the glass is half, the other way around.
Yeah, half full.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And when you talk about the identity, Dr. John Benn, how do you approach that with expat trailing spouses when it comes to identity? Do you tell them, how do you guide them?
Yeah, I think especially the ones who, coming from dual career couples, you know, coming where one then is not able to work, the identity is more around, it's almost like you've become a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
From being a professional to a stay-at-home mom. That's typically the kind of shift. But then you are now stuck in it, in Malaysia without a working visa. And what do you do? It's not so much of a, as you know, the ones that I've interacted with, not so much of a, I need to figure out who I am. I think that's more something for the third culture kids growing up, mm-hmm. you know, in these
like
places.
Like Magda's children would
like
be
my
somewhat.
Children. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
All our children. Yeah.
Yeah. Third culture children yeah. who move around.
The identity piece doesn't come up so much for the adults relocating or going into expatriate, you know, assignments.
Okay. Traditionally, the trailing spouse is a wife, but increasingly there are more husbands mm-hmm. Who give up the career for the wives, and that can come with complications as well. Reversal of traditional gender roles and, mm-hmm. you know, social expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, based on your experience, is it more difficult for the male spouse?
I haven't had that many encounters. I've had about a handful of trailing expat husbands, if you would want to put it that way, that I've worked with. And there was a season actually last year when I actually got about two or three of them in one go. So I was working, and so I actually wrote a blog about it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, johnbenlloyd.com, right?
Yes.
Which I never posted.
Of course, plug. Don't
the
stop.
The last one was September. I hardly post.
Go ahead.
I'll take a picture of you, and then that's my next post, is my life with Mira on air.
Yes, always. Talk to me, except for you're not the expat, the trailing expat spouse today, so I can't, you know, play therapist for you.
The one that I heard, I mean, they're sort of similar, but there's gender roles at play here, right? So you are a stay-at-home dad, right? Typically, it's with kids, not always. The one that I heard that struck me that I didn't think of before was when they're socializing with others. You know, what do you do, Mr. Jones?
Exactly.
Oh, I watch YouTube at home. You know,
I
I'm gardening.
I pick up my kids from
that's
school.
Right, that's right. You know, and it's harder, I think, for men to be able to say that comfortably.
Okay.
Yeah.
We hope we'll get a dad on the line in just a short while.
Yeah.
He is an expat spouse, trailing spouse. And we'll come back and continue this discussion. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp on 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivisodi. It's our health segment and we have Dr. John Benlow, a U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist in the studio, together with Magda Tay, who is a mental health therapist. Magda has an interesting experience of being, was born and bred in the Netherlands of Indonesian heritage, lived in China for 20 years and then moved to Indonesia for a short while, and now Malaysia is your base.
That's right.
With a moving husband, he's decided now to actually travel up and down. 20 years in China with the pollution, that wouldn't have been the most pleasant experience. How did you cope with that?
That was not easy, yes. How did I cope with that? Well, a lot of complaining, mm-hmm. as most others would do as well. Wearing masks, trying to curtail. You know, the first thing that you do when you wake up is you check the air pollution index, the AQI. You open your curtains and you look into the sky.
Well, that must be stressful. Or did it just become
It became
part
a bit
of
routine
life.
As yeah. well. But at some point you decide, do I want this? I'm blessed enough that I have the opportunity to also say, I don't have to be here. Whereas for other people, maybe they have to be here still. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, good team talk with my husband. But this, you know, over the many years, actually, this discussion, what are we going to do? Business is here. What are we going to do? And then eventually it became to, okay, we're going to move the family base so the children can be in cleaner air, have different experiences as well. And he continues the business in China. And therefore it means he is the one who has to go up and down.
Yeah. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? I mean, it took you 20 years to make that decision. What was it that finally, you know, you both decided, okay, this is it. We're going to make that move.
I don't think there was one particular incident that I can recall. But it was that I started to really feel more and more down also, really not happy. I think he picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And I had asked already for many years, is there a possibility to shift? Can we move away from this? What would that look like? And I always felt there was no choice. I still have to be here. And that is also maybe psychologically that you feel trapped. And I think that a lot of trailing expat spouses feel also trapped because it is so, everything is organized, driven by the spouse's job, the location and so forth, that, yeah, they feel like, okay, I am here now, and now what? I cannot move, because if I were to move back to my home country, I'm splitting up the family unit. What do I do? So that having that other element of, okay, even though they say, yes, I know we talked about it and we both decided, but the thing is, yes, to a certain degree you can prepare, you can read, but until you are there, until you are in the daily routines, you have no idea what is actually really waiting
yep.
for you.
Yep.
And that sometimes can come quite hard into you.
Okay, we'll come back to your story in just a short while. We have Dan Kuhlman on the line. And Dan, how are you today? Can you hear
Hello?
Us, Dan?
Hello.
Hi,
yes.
can
Hello.
You hear us?
Hi, yeah, I can hear you. Can
well,
you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Dan?
Sure thing. Okay, so basically I followed my wife. She's working for the Dutch, the Dutch ministry
okay.
Foreign affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually met in Belgium about 6 years ago, and so we got together, and then she was still she was just sent abroad, so that was her first mission abroad, which was from Holland to Belgium. So yes, we, you know, our relationship became stronger and stronger. Eventually we got married in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
and then we decided to, you know, to go for the adventure. And the first mission outside of Europe, her first mission outside of Europe was in the Philippines, where we spent 2 years and a half. And I have to say it was a great experience. And of course, it all depends on the mindset of the people that engage in such a pursuit. So basically, for some people it can be bad, for some people it can be great. So for me, it was great. And after the 2 years and a half that we spent in the Philippines, we came to Malaysia. So now we're based in Malaysia. We've already been here for 3 years, and we're staying here until 2019, when we'll have to go back to to the Netherlands, basically, because there is this rule that you can only go outside for so many missions, which is about 2 to 3, and then you have to go back inside the country for another period of 3 years.
Okay. Dan, when you came out for the first time, what sort of mindset did you have? Were you prepared to be the expat trailing spouse or the trailing expat spouse?
Oh, no, totally not, But then again, I'm the kind of person to, I like surprises. And, basically I didn't even do any, I didn't read anything about it. I didn't even watch a video about the Philippines. I don't know why, basically. I just wanted to be, surprised all the way.
Right.
And, yeah, when we arrived, it was, the period, it always takes about 1 year to adjust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you go out on the, on the street, and sometimes you forget how to, you don't know how to come back home, and you kind of like, sometimes you panic, and you're like, okay, I recognize this building and I recognize this place, and then it all starts to make sense, and then you know your way, and become familiar, you start developing a social network, offline social network. You meet nice and interesting people, which actually are also engaged in the same type of lifestyle.
Okay.
So basically, they're traveling around the world, and then they have all kind of new experiences that they share with you, and you share with them.
Did you feel you were looked down upon because you were, the trailing expat husband?
Well, depends on the country. Let's say, for example, I don't know. I'm just taking an example. Let's say in countries where the man is seen as, the provider mainly, yes, there's obviously a higher chance of being looked down upon. Myself, in my experience, no, I've not experienced this. Some people were actually a bit curious about what it is and how it's happening and why is it that I've actually, taking the decision to follow my wife, which is quite strange to them. They have probably never thought about it.
Yep.
And I've never thought about it either until I have actually met my wife. So then again.
So what do you tell people? What do you tell people, Dan, when they say, what do you do? What do you say to
right.
them?
Well, basically, in the beginning, I was not employed. So I had all the time in the world to pursue my interests. And happily, I have a lot of interests. So then I told them that I'm actually, taking the time to do whatever I want to do. And the things that I wanted to do were to, read a lot about different topics regarding science, philosophy, economics, and so on. So I was basically educating myself.
I'm so jealous. You make it sound.
Exactly.
You make it sound like a long holiday, and it's years.
Yes, exactly.
It's all mindset. Yeah. It goes back to that, really.
Yeah, and then travel a lot, obviously, because everything is done for you. So you have maids, you have drivers, you have cooks. Therefore, all the cores. Right? Yes, they are outsourced. So basically, you get to have a lot of time. So the main point is how you spend the time. You can invest the time in yourself, or for example, if you have a business, if you have children, you can invest time in spending with your children. Or, for example, yes, obviously, you can become depressed because you have nothing to do, and then you can start drinking or whatever. So definitely, the major point is to have something that you care about, something that you would have wanted to do should you have the time, and that's it.
Okay, all right then. You have any questions for Dan, Dr. John?
No, actually. Dan and I met online.
Ah.
Yeah, and then we had a drink once, and then we haven't met since, because I've been busy living a non-expat working man life. So,
Hi, John.
So it's good to talk to you again, on radio itself. So thanks
exactly.
for calling in.
Yeah,
no, I didn't call him. I didn't call him because I need, psychological assistance.
No, you don't. You sound like you're having a ball. You don't need
him. Exactly. No, I do need people which I find to be inspiring and that I can learn from. And I thought that he would be such a person, and he definitely is. Although, obviously, with such people, the problem is that they don't have a lot of time on their hands.
Yes.
So therefore, me, I have much more time than they do. So, but not anymore because I'm engaged in building my own business. And now,
great.
obviously time is not on my side, but I have definitely taken the advantage of the time that was given to me, and I think that it's been a great experience, and I should definitely encourage everybody to try it at least for a while, and not be afraid of giving it a try, and if they don't like it, then hey, they can always go back home, and live a boring life like anybody else.
Thank you, Dan, and all the best for 2019.
Thank you very much.
Continue having a ball. Bye bye.
Great. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, there you go. Goes back to mindsets, isn't it?
Great stories.
Yes, absolutely. Which makes me wonder sometimes whether the women are too hard on themselves. What do you think, Magda?
Could be. I think some women, you cannot generalize. They have certain expectations. If they come already from having to make that shift from being a professional to becoming a homemaker, even if you would just be in your own home country, that in itself would already be quite a big shift to deal with, let alone if you then are moved overseas. And then suddenly I think the hard part is really around, okay, the kids find themselves in the school structures and you help them settle in, but basically the school takes over. The husband goes on working and has the support within the company structure, and often they start working much longer hours than they would back home. They start traveling extensively as well. And so that leaves then the wife with, okay, what do I do now, right? And if she has certain expectations about herself, I have only value if I do XYZ, it can become quite difficult. But if she is more like of the mindset like Dan is and say, I'm going to use this to the max as an opportunity to maybe finally dive into a course that I always wanted to do because you can do everything online now. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm going to take up this hobby and learn the ukulele or whatever and, feel good about it. Then this person will have such a different experience. But unfortunately, those are the people who we see, right, in at the center, that the people who struggle are really the ones who have invested quite a lot in their professional identities as to that is who I am. It's very difficult then to let go of
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah, who am I now? If I'm the homemaker, I'm still the mom and I'm still the wife. But also the expat world is a lot of social events, right? And that question pops in all the time. What do you do? And I hear from so many women that they already see the other person's eyes glaze over when you say, oh, I'm a homemaker. Mm-hmm. And you can already sense that the other person is just trying to find a way to get out of the conversation as quickly as possible because you have no quote-unquote value or nothing interesting to say. So there is that element also of societal-wise that you feel ashamed perhaps, which you maybe would not have so much in your home country, depending, of course, where your home country is. But, in Scandinavian countries, certainly also in Holland, it's much more egalitarian. Sometimes the husband takes the job for homemaker, sometimes the wife does it. And if they both work, house chores are shared quite equally. So that also depends the culture that you originally came from.
The whole idea of people looking down, I think I've been there. I wasn't a trailing expat spouse.
Tell us
but
about that, Mira.
No, yeah, I stayed home for 7 years to look after the girls,
right.
And didn't work. And so I experienced that when I go out and, people sort of don't have much regard for you because you're a homemaker.
Wow.
I was called all sorts of names. Or she's the tai-tai. When you lead such a dog's life, it's really not easy being a homemaker, doing all the running around with the kids and everything. And the last thing you need is this. So there came a point when I actually would not want to socialize, which is not a good thing because, I would avoid, social gatherings, weddings and all of that because I didn't want to have to face that question of what do you do? It's amazing how you come back to a job like this, or you come to a job like this, and it's all of a sudden everybody wants to be your friend.
Okay.
And then
wow.
you know
wow.
who are your true friends.
Yes, exactly, you know.
Wow.
So yeah, been there. Didn't have to be that trailing expat spouse, but mm-hmm. It does happen even in our own backyard.
Yes.
Yeah. It depends on the individual. You need to be happy within to be comfortable in your own skin, I think, and to go out and meet the world.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference. And then you just probably, I mean, at that time I was much younger, so I didn't quite understand. But, you know, in hindsight, I think you just be brave about it. Move on to friends who would be more accepting and do what you have to do. I could have done a lot more things with sort of Dan's open mind. You know, he's having a travel, he's having a great holiday. It sounds like it. I mean, it's
yes.
such an adventure, isn't it? That's why I'm just thinking to myself, it's got to do with you and your mindset and how comfortable you are with yourself before you actually go out.
Yes. And I think that society in general really does pit worth around the idea of work and career and what we do for money.
Yes.
And that's how we ascribe worth, which is too bad, actually.
Yeah, exactly. We'll come back and finish up, close up the session. Our phone lines are still open if you'd like to call us and ask Dr. John Benn or even Magda a question. The number is 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. We're discussing the trailing expat spouse on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi, Dr. John Benn Loy, consultant. Oh, no, not consultant.
I can consult. I do consulting. I do.
I take my words back. U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist and Magna Tay, a mental health therapist. In the studio, we're discussing the trailing expat spouse. You know, Dr. John Benn, earlier on you touched on a couple of things, issues in which would determine your success as a trailing expat spouse. I say success mm-hmm. meaning, you know, you're comfortable. You
adjustment.
Adjusting is mm-hmm. comes easier.
Yeah.
One is being comfortable in your environment mm-hmm. In terms of the city or wherever you are.
Yeah.
Second is actually the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just expand a little bit on the marriage and some of the challenges which come about in the marriage because of mm-hmm. this change in dynamics?
Yeah. I think for the average couple, meaning the couple is not coming, that's not relocating already with, say, a bundle of issues, what they do face is the husband is so busy, right, working mm-hmm. and traveling. And then there's something that those of us who do this work sometimes refer to as invisible stress. It's a paradox. It's kind of like a cognitive dissonance because on the one hand, you know, you talk about it and we say, wow, you know, what a great holiday, right? Yet at the same time, when you think you're supposed to be having so much fun and opportunity, you're also struggling with these invisible stresses. So you're not really allowed to whinge. You're not really allowed to complain about the adjustment, but and then people sort of don't really want to listen to you. So that can happen to the couples, whereas the husbands will say, well, we have a maid now, we have a driver, you have this, you have that.
What are you complaining about?
Exactly. And so, right. you know, the inability to relate and with the expectations that you're supposed to be very happy, that becomes a problem for the couple, the average couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Magda, you said you were already at a stage in China when your husband sensed that you weren't very happy anymore. Being sensitive to that is very, very important.
Yes.
And not everybody would be sensitive to that. What is your advice, Dr. John Benn, to the working spouse?
Absolutely. In fact, the most successful and typical case that I had was a couple where the wife was really struggling and she didn't know and she didn't allow herself to really accept that she is suffering. So actually it was the husband that brought her in and say, we need to talk to someone. It was only two sessions. That's all they needed mm-hmm. for me to say, listen, you're struggling. It's okay. You know, your husband says you're struggling. accept it. It's hard. It's hard to be able to deal with local suppliers that don't come on time, go into your fridge and take your drinks without asking you permission. You know, things like weird, funny things that she's just not used to as she's from Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, but a couple of sessions and she realized, oh, I'm adjusting. And my husband is there for me for anything that I need to adjust well. Then they were fine. So that's all they needed. But had they not had that sort of perspective, mm-hmm. I think it could steamroll into something worse.
Something, yeah. Okay, yeah. So coming in early is always a good thing. Yes. So, but being sensitive is very, very important. Yes. Steve, you have a question.
Yeah, guys. Hi. I'm an American, and I'm working. But my wife, she's Malaysian. I met her at work. And when I met her, she was a super hard worker, just puts her nose to the grindstones, works late at night, workaholic. Then we get married and have a child, and she becomes a stay-at-home mom. And she, at first, rebelled, but now she loves it too much. But now our child is kind of moving on, and he's going to college soon. And now I'm kind of suggesting that maybe it's a good idea to think about going back into the workforce. But now she, no, I don't want to. So I'm just kind of thinking that, I don't know if that's good, because she's still young. I don't know if that's good, just to kind of pull out completely, because I don't know.
Why do you think she should go back to work, Steve?
Well, I just don't know what she'd do, you know, now that, because her whole life is her son. And then once he'll be going overseas to college, so she'll be alone at home. And, you know, I just know her from her, you know, 20 years ago where she was like a workaholic, and now she's kind of a relaxaholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think she's a smart person, and I just don't know if she's really, you know, pushing herself, like coming up to her potential sometimes.
Yeah. Shall I respond?
Yes, go ahead. Do you have any more questions for Steve?
No, just that.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. We'll get Dr. John Ben to address that. Bye-bye. Okay.
Yeah. I think the first question I would ask, let's say I would ask myself, is why is there a need for me to push my wife if she's actually comfortable? Is she actually comfortable, or is she actually suffering and creating difficulties in our relationship? If she's not creating a difficulty in the relationship, say in Steve's case, then what is Steve's concern really? You know, except to see her be productive, so to speak. Does she really need, do they really need for her to be productive financially? If not, then what's the issue for Steve?
Maybe he's just concerned that, you know, she's going to hit a stage where, you know, there will she may feel like there's no purpose in life. I think I can hear it's fear in Steve's voice more than anything else, actually.
Yes.
For her well-being.
Yes.
Not in a bad way.
Yes. No, it's a concern, and it's a legitimate concern for him. So what I'm trying to say is, first of all, let us be clear what is our issue and what we think is our spouse's issue,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Let's clarify that,
right?
Once I'm clear that I'm concerned for you, then I can articulate it very differently, saying I am worried, you know,
okay.
that you are not doing well. And who knows, the wife may turn around and say, actually, I'm really happy. You know, or I've wanted a break for a while. Don't know. But we're not coming in with I'm trying to change you because I think you've got a problem. Now, if I, as Steve, am having a problem with my wife because of certain behaviors, then I have a very different thing to say. I say, I'm having difficulties with you behaving this way or that way, right? Let's talk about what's going on with you. Right, so that's the second step whereby there is a problem between us, and then only the third, you know, the step is, you know, if we can't resolve that, let's go see if we can talk to somebody about that. We do get a lot of people calling in or emailing us saying, "I want some help from my spouse or from my parents or from my friends or from my kids," and the first question I like to ask them is, is this your issue or is it the other person's issue?
Right.
Let's be clear, because sometimes they'll say, how do I get them in? So I say, well, identify what your issue is. if your issue with the person is relational, because they're depressed, they're in bed, they're affecting you, that's how you bring them in. Say, I'm having a problem with the way you're behaving or your actions or lack of it. We need to go in. Then you can get the help for the other person. Maybe I'm sounding a bit too complicated.
No, it isn't. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's how we go. So that's how I do it anyway. You know, sort of step one, step two, step three.
You mentioned infidelity.
I did. I did. Sorry.
Yes. Is that a big problem amongst expat families?
You know, we're going to go to 5 o'clock, right? If we start that.
You have 5 minutes.
Yes, there is.
Is it a big problem?
I would say yes.
Okay.
It is. Yes. That's all I can say.
Okay. And usually the problem is?
Usually the problem is the perceived or actual, that the man, you know, has all these Asian women, you know, sort of hoping for a better future, you know, coming after the Western men. Yeah. And sometimes it's use of sexual services, right, which can be considered infidelity. In some cases, they define it differently. I felt nothing. This is, you know, just services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is because there's so much access here, you know. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. That's a whole show or two.
Okay. But usually, is that an indication that, you know, the marriage itself is something's not quite right with the marriage, or is that a symptom?
I'm very reluctant to make a sweeping statement. There are instances whereby it is indicated that something is not right with the relationship, but not always. Sometimes the availability of it or the social pressure of it, if the person has only just first time come to Asia in this kind of work context where there's a lot of quote-unquote entertainment, right, sort of gets seduced into that environment. It can happen with very little problem, say, you know, in the marriage to begin with. So not always.
But does that say something about the person itself?
Yes, it does. But I'm not one to judge.
Yes, absolutely. So, but, yeah. You know, what I'm trying to say is this environment exists,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's you can't blame the environment. Maybe you need to reflect,
yes,
a little as well.
Definitely. So you cannot blame the environment, but for some of these men, it's sort of expected in some circles that you would engage in these activities. Mm. And so they think, oh, if I don't do this, then, you know, what's going to happen to my position?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another chat altogether.
Yes, that's
okay.
What I said.
All right, okay, another one or two shows. What are your thoughts on that, Magda?
Oh, you know, the thought that came to mind, and somebody must have said it to me, was like, you know, a kid in a candy store. Mm. Yes, you cannot blame the environment, but if candy is all around you,
wow,
just for grabbing,
that is
it
terrible.
Takes, yeah, this is how some people have illustrated it to me, and it's again also the dynamic of being so often away from home that, you know, puts maybe also that in itself puts the marriage a bit at risk. So, and there is that culture of entertainment, as Dr. John Byrne pointed out. So I also have seen clients where, yes, it ripped marriages apart, unfortunately. I don't want to make sweeping statements either. That's not to say that, you know, yeah, that marriage would have lasted in their home country, but certainly there is a different set of challenges to deal with when overseas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Can you affair proof your relationship when you leave or when you come as an expat?
I think so. Come very intentionally. There are, depending on the companies, sometimes they do take care of psychosocial relational preparation for going overseas. I do sort of stress tools for cross-cultural assignments as well, but more when they're already here, which is, in my mind, a little bit too late. You know, you really need to do it at your origin country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, talking about these things, being very clear about it, what it might look like, and then continuing that conversation even when you have arrived. It's important.
Right. You also mentioned the last point was unresolved issues even before you arrive in the country that you're going to work in can just mess up the whole dynamic.
It's extra stress. Mm. Expatriating is a lot of stress. So when your relationship is already stressed, you don't think that just by moving away, that goes away. It doesn't. You're just adding more stress onto it. So there's a really good tool. It's called the Cherney-Smith Assessment tool to be able to begin to tap in on how you're doing adapting to a new environment, and it also looks at relationships and marriage as well.
Magda, now that your husband's Malaysia is your base and he's moving up and down China and back, that's a little different work arrangement as such. How's that working out for you? And a lot, you're not the only one. There are a ton more people who have children and wives who have decided to emigrate, live in Australia, wherever, and then you have the husbands at home with their businesses going to visit. You know, one person's always moving up and down.
Yes.
How's that been for you?
There are times that I feel I'm a single mom.
Yes.
Yeah, I have two young, sort of 10 and 11 and 13-year-old kids at home, having to sit down with them after work to do their homework and chasing them, making sure that they get to bed on time. It's definitely much easier if you have your husband there to share the load with. I guess I got used to it. Even when we were living in China, he also traveled a lot. He just has to sit a little bit longer in a plane now. I just get on with things. It works out. I've accepted that he is a lot, in the air or somewhere else. And we've talked about it. We knew what we were going into, that if we were going to move the family, as this is becoming our base, we know every other week or so you have to be in China. So that's where WhatsApp and Skype and telephone calls come in.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
They're cheap now.
Yes.
Have you ever had rough moments in the relationship?
Because of that?
Yeah.
I think you need to be quite vigilant in terms of, like, you have to stay connected somehow, because I get busy, he gets even busier, and you can be very busy being busy.
Yep.
And so to find a time actually very purposefully or with intention to say, hey, how are you doing? Or even like little gestures, walking up to him and offering him a cup of tea, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Or, those little things start becoming important.
And not depending on the maid to make that cup of tea.
That's right.
Mm. And you can get too comfortable. It's a luxury having a maid and a driver and all of that, isn't it? That you forget the little things.
It cuts both ways, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually purposefully scaled down on the maid, on the helper, because I really want the children also to chip in more. They need to wash the dishes. They need to clear the kitchen table.
Yep.
And it's otherwise too easy to say, oh, let the helper do it. Right? If that person is around too much, then the kids also get into that mentality, somebody will be there to clean up after me. And we didn't want that mentality.
Yeah, same here. So my wife has been struggling with that, with having a helper at home. And Sunday nights, that's when they get to work.
Work the children.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Would you have a message for us on the trailing expat spouse?
I think very much in the along the lines of what Dan was saying, really about, take it as an opportunity, be open for new things, don't compare. Turn sort of like a page into a new chapter. But at the same time, also step in with your eyes wide open. Know that, you will be missing your support network, and sometimes it's difficult to connect to the support network back home. So some realistic expectations as well. Talk to people who have gone before you into that country. I would say could be very helpful.
Dr. John Ben?
Yeah. Agreed completely. Don't be don't beat yourself up if you're, you know, having a trouble with your luxurious life and you're not quite sure what is going on and why you're feeling bad.
Yes.
Accessing a counselor who has expat experience or work with expats could just be one visit that could make a difference. You know, so, you know, take advantage of that too, so that you can have a very positive experience.
Thank you both very much for sharing your stories with us and your thoughts, Dr. John Benn.
Thank
Dr.
you.
John Benn Loy, US licensed marriage and family therapist, and Magnate, a mental health therapist, talking to us about the trailing expat spouse on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.